really, because it's taken from one of the earlier words used in the opening of the parasha. The actual wording you will find in chapter 6, right at the very beginning. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem says to Moshe, saying, Tzav et Aharon, command Aharon ve'et banav and his sons, lemor, telling, Zot Torah Tavla. This is the instructions, this is the teachings of the Korban Ola, the offering known as the Ola. Now, the rest of the portion talks about details of this particular Korban, this particular offering. Then the same expression is used in verse 7, Vizot Torat HaMincha. This is the teachings relating to the Mincha offering, that's a grain offering. Then you have Zot Torat HaAsham, right at the beginning of chapter Zion 7. These are the teachings of the guilt offering. And also Zot Torat Zevach HaShlamim, the offering of the peace offering. I'm not going to be discussing any of the details of the offerings themselves, though that is fascinating and deserves a class on its own, but it really relates better to ones who have a specific fascination to the details of the offerings. Otherwise it gets very clinical. Last week we discussed the concept of offering, the concept of korban, the concept of sacrifice. This week I would like to open up the first Rashi. The first Rashi in the parasha says, Tzav et Aharon. Why is it using the language of Tzav? Tzav means to instruct, to give a command. And evidently, the parasha has been labeled after this word, Tzav. Something's going on over here. Says Rashi, Tzav et Aharon, einli ela zeros. This terminology of Tzav, which means to command, to instruct, says Rashi, einli ela lashon zeros. What does zeros mean? Zeros mean from zirizut. Zeros means alacrity. Some will even translate it as hurriedness. That's not really what it means. Zaz literally means, at the root of the word, zaz means to move. Movement, taking action, moving forward. Continues Rashi. Ein tzav, the word tzav, is not anything other than ela lashon zeros, miyad uletorat. This is a language of doing something now, moving now, taking action now, and for generations. Amar Rav Shimon, says Rav Shimon, beyote tzarech hakatuv, the verse found it necessary more than anywhere else to explain that lizarez b'makom sheyesh bo chesaron kis, wherever there is some resistance to something, you need to use the language of command, of instruction. Meaning to say, since there is a resistance to having to spend money out of my pocket, this is hard-earned money, so therefore I have to be given the extra wording of commanded. It's not lemor or daber, speak, talk. This is a command. I want to talk a little bit about what does this mean. What is this concept of zrizut? We see that if we look in a good English Hebrew dictionary, the word zrizut comes from the language of zaz. Zaz means to move. As you know, in the mezuzah we're told is really made up of two words. You have in the Torah it says that these words you shall write al mezuzot beitecha, on the doorposts of your house. But mezuzot is actually broken up of two words. The middle word is the root zaz. On the first and last letter is met. Mem is the first letter of mezuzot, and taf is the last. So we're told you have here inside the word move death. Death should be moved away. That's why in the very next verse, Lema'an yirbu yameichem, in order that your life should be long and those of your children should be long on the land that I have given you. So that's right after mezuzot beitecha, having written the So the word zaz means to move, to take action, to move forward. Another word that zaz means is prepare, to make ready, to be ready to take action. How do we know that? Because you will find in the description of Oig, that giant who came and told Abraham, quickly, your brother-in-law, your nephew, Lot, has been kidnapped. Do something about it. Take action. So the language over there, in chapter 14, verse 14, is, Vayerek et hanichav, he got ready his soldiers, Yilidei Beito, the people who were born from his home, Shmonasa Shloshmot, there were 318 people in total. Now the Targum there says, Vizarez Yat Ulemohi, he got moving, prepared his young ones, the young people in his home, for battle. We're talking about being prepared for battle over there. Zarez is the Targum, the Aramaic translation of the word Chanichav. That's interesting, because the word chanichav means comes from the root chinuch. So we see that chinuch, which literally means training, not education, it means training, is related to the word zerizut. Zerizut means we are training ourselves to take action. We are training ourselves to move. We are training ourselves to be ready for an encounter. That when the opportunity arrives, we will be ready to meet the opportunity. The result is not necessarily a specific speed in terms of how fast we get to it, but it's a case more of taking action consistently so that we train ourselves to be ready, to be able to take action where it's needed. A good English Hebrew dictionary will also reveal that the word zerizut is also used in context of strengthening oneself. Actually, it's all related, because the more we train ourselves to take action consistently, the stronger we become internally, because it's a discipline. Taking action consistently is a discipline. Making that phone call, picking up the phone and dialing those numbers, that is taking action. Calling up for an interview, picking up the phone and saying, I'm sorry, is taking action. Keeping that appointment, making the appointment, an appointment with God, davening at that time. All these are taking action. I'm going to start a course in Jewish law, in the weekly portion. I'm going to study the laws of Kashrut, the laws of Shabbat. We're going to take action, we're going to buy a book, we're going to listen to a tape series, we're going to attend a class. Whatever we want it to be as part of our goal system, taking action is really where it's at. Now it's interesting to note that Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, known as the Ramchal, the famous author of Mesilat Yesharim, Italian work, this book is held in great esteem, not just because it's probably the classic in Jewish ethics, but just to give you one insight of what the Vilna Gaon, the great Gaon of Vilna, said when he first read this book. The Vilna Gaon was a person who literally could count in his lifetime the minutes that was not spent in full devotion of God, something that we are totally, just can't even relate to. We just really can't relate to it. And yet, for someone who valued time so greatly, he said, when he read this book, Mesilat Yesharim, he said, if the author of this book would be alive today in Italy, I would walk from Vilna to Italy. Now that's a long distance, and my guess is it would entail a lot of distractions and time-wasting activities to get there. And yet, for him to learn at the feet of the Ramchal, for the Vilna Gaon, would have been worth every step of the journey. So I only mention that really to give credibility to the fact that out of the 9 or so steps that the Ramchal lists as different levels to accomplish in a lifetime towards mastering one's emotions and becoming as close as possible to being an Evet Hashem, serving Hashem wholeheartedly. One of those levels is Zerizut. Now, unfortunately, Zerizut is usually translated as zealousness, which is a nice word, but it really, really doesn't do justice, because I have a sense, according to my very humble and limited understanding of English language, the zealousness has connotations which don't give full credibility to the original intent behind the Hebrew word, Zerizut. So zealousness is not a word I'm going to be using, but he describes something very interesting. He states that Zerizut has two levels. Zerizut in the sense of taking action. There's two levels. There's Zerizut before a mitzvah, and then there's Zerizut as soon as the mitzvah begins. What does that mean? So the first level of Zerizut is to be ready. That's one of the words we said, that Zerizut means to ready oneself, to take action, to be ready, to be a candidate for whatever the encounter is about to be. It says to be ready for the mitzvah. Then the next level of Zerizut is, as soon as the mitzvah comes, start it and finish it. You know, I'll never forget, I once attended a dinner many years ago, which was given in an expensive hotel with the intent of paying off the bill for the dinner from the enormous loan that was anticipated, not loan, the money that was anticipated being raised by a specific philanthropist. And when this person stood up and everyone's waiting, how much is he going to donate to the yeshiva, because they had plans to build a gorgeous campus some 20 years ago, he said that I guarantee the entire cost of all the maintenance of the building. Which was very nice, but what they really needed is to put the building up in the first place. Now actually, it was a very, very, very kind gesture, because it really does cost much more over time to maintain a building than to actually start it. But the concept over here is, Zerizut means that once something has started, go for it and don't finish it. We're told in Vayakhel, around about chapter 35 in Exodus, that the Nesi'im, the princes of the Jewish people, when it came to the donations towards the portable temple, the Mishkan, in the desert, the Jewish people were so filled with Zerizut, alacrity, excitement to do it now, to take action now, that they started pouring in gold and silver and copper and wool and crimson wool, everything that was needed for all the materials of the Mishkan, of this portable temple. And the Nesi'im, the princes, made an amazing gesture. They got up and they said, we will donate, no matter the amount, we will donate everything that's missing from what the Jewish people bring. A few minutes later, reading through the parasha, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu had to send out a declaration. Stop! It's too much! You've sent up, we've got more than we can handle. There's more materials that have been donated than we need. And it ended up that the Nesi'im, the princes, gave zero. So Chazal tell us, why is it that in the verse, when the Nesi'im made this promise, the Yud, one of the Yuds in the Nesi'im, is missing? So Chazal tell us, because without them realizing it, it was laziness. There was a lack, there was atzmut, there was a lack of taking action now for an opportunity which actually got lost. Later on they tried to make up for it by being the first ones to donate the stone for the Choshen, the shoulder stones. But the point at this juncture is that Zerizut means to take action as soon as the opportunity arrives. They were not aware, according to Rav Dessel and other commentaries, the Nesiim, the princes, were not aware that their gesture was not coming from generosity. It was coming from Atzlut. Now, Atzlut is a term that's usually translated as laziness. But when we start to study the concept of laziness, we discover something very interesting. Laziness does not really exist. Laziness is a choice. It's not a nature. It's possible that with multiple choices, over time, we could have the reputation, not only in the eyes of those who are our roommates, or our parents, or others, that we may have the reputation, even in our own minds, that we are lazy. But is that a description of who we are? We are lazy. We're acting lazy. We make choices that appear lazy. But essentially, if laziness is nature, then, well, I guess I've got to change my nature, and if I can't, I can't. But if it's a choice, hey, we make choices all the time. We can change our choices. We may have made an accumulation of many choices in a specific direction, but taking action can break old choices if I take actions in a different direction. There were two students of the Baal Shem Tov. There were many students of the Baal Shem Tov, but two come to mind, the famous story of Reb Zusha and Reb Aaron. These were two brothers who were known for their exceptional love for people. And there was one time where they were traveling together, very, very poor, and going from city to city, teaching Jews the lessons of Hasidus. They found themselves at one point, they hadn't eaten properly for 3 days, barely drank anything, and they were extremely weak. And they lay down on the roadside for a short while, just to get their strength. And a Polish wagon driver passes by with large bales of hay on the back of the wagon. And it's a bumpy surface, and as it passes by, one of the bales got jogged from the bumpy ride and toppled over into the road right next to Reb Zusha. And the Polish wagon driver screams out, "Jew, pick up my bale of hay!" And Reb Zusha was so wiped out and exhausted, he just gave out a groan, "Oy, I can't. I just can't." And the Polish wagon driver screamed at him, "You liar! You can! You just don't want to!" And Reb Zusha said, of all the teachings he received from the Baal Shem Tov, and everything he saw, said nothing matched on the level of Musa, on the level of penetrating his mind and heart as much as those words, "You can, you just don't want to." Because even if I'm exhausted, I'm really completely out. If the stakes were high enough, if the odds were high enough, if the stick and the carrot were combined, I would be up there and I would move that bale of hay. I would get out there and do that exercise and take care of my health. I would learn financial responsibility. I would ask people, where do I go to learn? How do I invest? How do I spend less than I earn? How do I budget? If I really wanted to, I could find out more about how to be a better Jew. Learn halacha, learn musa, learn chassidus, go to classes, listen to tapes, study, find a teacher. If I'm not doing it, it's because I don't want to. It's not because I'm lazy. Laziness is my way of saying, I don't want to take responsibility. And if you can call me lazy, well, I'm even better off. It's not my fault, I'm just lazy. That's why I don't get the project done on time. So if it really is a choice, that puts responsibility back in my own hands. So says the Mesilas Yesharim in chapter 6, under the heading Midat Hazrizut, the character trait of taking action, that Zrizut before a mitzvah means being ready that as soon as I can identify the opportunity, I go for it. That means that in advance, we've decided this is what we want. and therefore we will notice the opportunity more easily when it arrives. He claims that my laziness is not necessarily because of a lack of understanding the true value of what it is that's calling me. It's not for a lack of true value of going on the diet, of committing myself to kashrus, to shabbos, to mitzvahs, to learning, to committing myself properly to a marriage, committing myself properly in my relationship to my spouse, to my children, and learning with my kids, or whatever it is that we're up against in our inverted commas laziness. His claim is that laziness is not so much out of my lack of acknowledging the true value of what it is I'm supposedly lazy about. It comes more from the fact that I'm not simply taking consistent action towards it. And that by breaking the pattern of non-action and taking action, that's a zariz, moving, zaz, moving. The result, strengthening myself through the discipline of consistently taking action. Question, what's the difference between, oh, I hope that I live a long time and enjoy good health. I hope that I have a happy marriage. I hope my children turn out well. I hope I'll become learned one day. Oh, I hope my prayers will be accepted. I hope I'll get a grade 8. I hope that I'll be happy in life. I hope that my children will be successful. I hope. Contrast that against, I'm planning to enjoy good health in my life. I'm planning to be financially responsible. I'm planning to have a good marriage. I'm planning to have the nachas, the pleasure of seeing my children self-reliant. I'm planning to improve my stature in my job. What's the difference? What's the difference in these two terms, hoping and planning? One's passive and one is active. See, in Hebrew, do we have a word for hope? Unfortunately, we always translate hope as tikva. Or shall I say we translate tikva as hope. It's only because we are frighteningly reliant on the St. James' edition of the Old Testament, including the Book of Psalms, that we're stuck with English translations which did not confer with God's intent behind the original Hebrew. What does the word kaveh really mean? Kaveh el Hashem, to hope to Hashem. Does it really mean hope? What does the word mikveh come from? Mikveh means to gather. It's true, the truth, to gather water. But it's the same root as kaveh. Why? When you go to the mikveh, do you hope to become tahor, pure from the contamination, or do you know that by going to the mikveh you're planning and expect to come out tahor? You hear the difference? When we are kaveh el Hashem, v'chazek libecha, We're not talking about hope. Hope is far too weak a term. We're talking about expecting God to come through. We're talking about expecting to notice God's salvation. If I don't see it, it's not because it's not there, it's because I don't see it. Mechalkel chayin bechesed. The metzius, the reality is, we say it every day, you feed life kindly. Wait a minute, I don't have enough money to pay the bills at the end of the month. And I'm every day, Mechal Kel Chayim Bechesed, you God are feeding and sustaining me with kindness. Kindness means going beyond what is owed to me. But I'm not paying my bills. But that's not the only place where I need to measure my true assets. How much money would I pay to save an eye, an arm, a leg, my heart, my kidneys? My body has actually got a financial price tag. It has got a financial price tag. It's a fact. It's priceless, but it has a financial... I'm willing to pay almost any price to maintain my health. True or false? So if this is the case, am I keeping inventory at the end of the month? Heart in check? Good. Kidneys? Great. Legs still working? Wonderful. Eyes? Beautiful. Okay, let's get to the end of all the assets. Phone bill. I might have to pay in installments for a couple of months. Wait a minute. God never gave me a bill for the oxygen that I breathe this month. How about for walking on this globe of real estate called planet Earth? Well, we pay the landlord, the rent, and the mortgage to the bank, but God sustains us with kindness. No bill for the sunlight. What has this got to do with the result? Are we planning to enjoy life? Are we planning to have a good marriage? Are we hoping? Hoping is passive. It gives responsibility to events, to people, to things, relationships outside of myself. Whereas the word kaveh really means to expect God to come through. Kaveh really means to plan. I'm planning to have a good life. How do we plan to have a good life? Keeping inventory every day of what our true assets are. Happiness is enjoying what's good now, so that when Hashem sends me more, I'll be able to enjoy that too. But if I haven't learned to enjoy what I've got, where's the logical sequence? If I had more, then I would be happy. I'm not enjoying what I've already got. Where's the logical sequence? If I had more, then I would be happy. If my happiness is as the media would have it, when you buy this, then you'll be happy. When you live this lifestyle, then you'll be happy. When you're driving this car, then you'll be happy. When you're smoking this brand, then you'll be happy. When you're wearing this label, then you'll be happy. My happiness is internal or external? It's dependent on me, or dependent on what comes into my life. So, comes along the turn, tells me, Zerizut means we are planning to be there. When the opportunity arrives, we're planning to be ready. You get an interview for a job. How can I plan to be ready for this interview? So, all the skills that I've accumulated till this point is part of that planning. I become the candidate for the job because of who I am and the skills that I've acquired. And all that was the result for this interview. The more valuable we make ourselves as people, the more we are planning bezrizut for the encounter with our partner to be. Because the more valuable we are as a person, the more valuable we become in a relationship. So the more I have to offer in terms of kindness, caring, sensitivity, empathy, forgiveness, thank you, appreciation, recognition, acknowledgement, sense of humor. Whatever are the assets that would go into a long-term relationship, I take care of my body too. I look good. I smell good. But that's all before we get to my image socially, my image financially. Because those are not what's going to save the marriage. Those are not what's going to maintain the marriage. But on our emotional side, the elements of our personality, taking action to take care of ourselves, taking action to make that phone call, appreciate, recognize, thank you, sorry, apology, love, respect, consideration, sensitivity, almost no end, tolerance, conquering anger. Wow, these are heavy. Zerizut means this is what I'm committed to becoming, this is what I want in my life, and when I notice the opportunity, take action again and again and again. And that's what makes us strong in our self-discipline. The other part of Zerizut, which the Mesilat Yesharim mentions, is when the moment arrives to do the mitzvah or to do what's right, start the mitzvah and finish it. He quotes from King David, David HaMelech in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, chapter 119. I can't read my handwriting here. I don't understand which pasuk. Chashti, I hurried. V'loi hitmahmeti, I did not delay. Lishmor mitzvotecha, to guard, to observe, to practice your mitzvahs. Meaning to say that as soon as the mitzvah arrived, whether it was Shacharit, whether it was Lulav, whether it was Shabbat, whether it was Erev Shabbat, to prepare for Shabbat, as soon as the mitzvah arrived, was there. The appointment was there. Now he says, the moment a mitzvah arrives, it's called a shat sakana, time of danger. Not a physical danger, much worse than that. It's a spiritual danger. Because physical danger, the worst that will happen is we'll die. But a spiritual danger could be an opportunity for eternity that may not be repeated. So as soon as the mitzvah arrives, says the Mesilat Yesharim, I have to do it because every delayed moment carries with it dangers of unlimited distractions. Oh, I can do this tomorrow. I'll call my parents later. I'll put on tefillin, I'll daven shacharis a little bit. I've got time. Meanwhile, the time passes by and I could lose the mitzvah altogether. You know what? I think when I get married, I'll commit myself to kashrus. When I get married, when I have children, then I think we'll move to a town where the educational system and the shul and everything will support the values that I'm moving toward. Wait a minute. So reason requires that if it's the right thing, take action. If I'm really not ready to move now, okay, but let's start taking action towards that. But to wait for me to have children, and then I'll do it. When the family, when the kids start getting older, then we'll throw the television out. So the reason after beginning the mitzvah means to hurry and complete the mitzvah, in fear that I might not be zeicha and may not merit to finish the mitzvah in its totality. There are a number of verses and statements by Chazal, which the Mesilat Yesharim quotes here. Mitzvah haba liyadcha, a mitzvah which comes into your hand, al tachmitzena, don't make it become chametz. Chametz means it was delayed, left alone for 18 minutes and it fermented. A mitzvah comes into your hand, grab it. Le'olam yakdim adam l'dvar mitzvah. A person should always be ready to perform something of a mitzvah nature. That's the Gemara in Nazir, page 23b. Another Gemara in Pesachim, page 4a. Zrizim makdimim l'mitzvahs. Those who are zariz, who take action consistently, makdimim l'mitzvahs, arrive shortly before the mitzvah opportunity arrives. So we arrive before the mitzvah. To be amongst the first 10 in shul, for some. To daven, start davening a little bit earlier. Or to be on time for class. To keep to that chavrusa, that learning partner. To keep the appointments, even arrive a little bit early. Try and orientate ourselves to what we're doing. Another statement, Le'olam yaretz adam l'dvar mitzvah afilu b'shabbos. This is the Gemara in Brachas, page 6b. A person should always run for a davar mitzvah, something which is mitzvah related, even if it's on Shabbos. Shabbos we're not allowed to run. Because it's a uvti d'chol, it's a weekday activity to be in a hurry. But on Shabbos, we want the ta'anug, the pleasure, of walking at a relaxed pace. Children are allowed to run on Shabbos because that's their ta'anug, that's their pleasure. But adults were supposed to walk at a gentle pace. But if it would be for a mitzvah, which if I don't run, I could lose out, it's a mitzvah to go. For example, to run for mincha, or to run to a shiur, which I'm late for. Now, it's better to leave early than to leave late, and then I get the mitzvah of running. It's better to leave early. But the concept still holds the same. A few quotes on Zerizus for what to do once the mitzvah has begun to ensure that we finish it. So the Medrash in Bereish Yisrabah in chapter 85, paragraph 4, says, Kol ha-matzchil b'mitzvah ve'ein ha-goy me'oisa, anyone who begins a mitzvah but doesn't finish it, has for shalom, God forbid, could end up burying one's close ones. I don't remember what that was referring to specifically, but it's a very heavy statement. Ein mitzvah nikras ela al shem goimer. A mitzvah is only attributed to the one who actually completes the mitzvah. That's mentioned in relation to the bones of Joseph, which were taken out from Egypt by Moses, but Moses did not bury them in Shechem. And therefore, the mitzvah of the burial of the bones of Yosef was not attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu, to our teacher Moses. Kol ma'aseihem shel tzadikim b'mehirus. The actions of righteous people is done with alacrity, in hurriedness, to make sure that now that we're in the mitzvah, we get it done. To try not be distracted in the mornings, that once we've made the commitment to say the morning blessings or to daven in the mornings, not to allow other things to distract us. Question: how do we trigger inside of ourselves internally zerizut, to take action? What triggers are there inside of us? What can we do? What mechanism can we operate that will help bring about more consistent action in our lives? Any suggestions? I think the first thing to notice is ask ourselves, where do we want to be more consistent in taking action in our lives, in our health, finances, relationships, in our lashon hara, in our eating, in our learning, in our davening, to try and identify where we want to become more consistent in taking action, because that alone, the awareness alone, will mean that next time the opportunity comes my way for learning, for davening, spending time with the kids, my mind will already have been, so to speak, programmed, pre-framed, readied to notice, oh, here's the opportunity that I was talking to myself about. So how can we improve that awareness? Probably the most important way, and this the Mesillas HaShoshana mentions almost in every single chapter, to accelerate the process in acquiring any one of the most important character traits is to have hitboninut. Hitboninut means to contemplate the value of being a master of that trait. What would happen if I took consistent action with regard to my health? Whether it's exercise more regularly, or whether it's to make a slight shift in the way I eat, the diet, what I'm eating. To be mitzbonen, to consider what it is that will make a difference in making myself more valuable in relationships, so that I become more valuable to my spouse, or to my spouse-to-be, whoever he or she will be. How can I become stronger as a parent to this child, more sensitive, more caring, more firm, more consistent in following through on consequences? Consistency, action consistency, seems to be the key behind what Zeruzos is really all about. The other strategy, which is really powerful, is, as described in Mrs. Hisharim, is Hispodidus. Hitbodidut. Hitbodidut literally means to be alone with Hashem, in the sense that we talk to God about what it is we really want. Help me, please, Hashem, to be a Zariz. Help me to take consistent action. Because if I don't include God in the equation, essentially what I've done is say, I can and will do it myself. Which is a very dangerous claim, because it almost says, I don't need you, God. I can do it. But what I may not realize is that I will not succeed in anything unless Hashem lets me succeed in anything. So if it's Hashem who I need to give me the schus, the merit, to protect me from the distractions that will hold me back, to make me aware of the resistance that I might have internally, or external resistance that comes and sabotages my efforts, without me enlisting Hashem, please help me, who says that I can do it all alone? I anyway need Him to keep out all the sabotages that will attack or sabotage my own efforts. So the first thing I need to do is first become aware what it is I want to take consistent action in, and then, having identified it, say, Hashem, you're the one, you're the Rebbein Shalom, you're the Master of the Universe, help me please. Help me that when I say I want a gold medal in patience, I want to win the Olympics in patience, in conquering my anger, help me please that when the mother-in-law comes over, and when my husband presses that button, and when my kids do such and such, give me the clarity in the moment to exercise patience. Give me the clarity in the moment to say, Hashem, you're behind everything. Help me please get through this, smiling outwardly and inwardly. Help me to see your hands in everything. And when I can't see it, please don't let it take long for me to notice that everything really comes from you. Because until I recognize that, if I blame my mother-in-law, and I blame my children, and I blame my spouse, and I blame the boss, I'm really pointing fingers outside of myself, which is my way of avoiding responsibility. It's my way of saying it's your fault, and if only you would respect me, give me a raise, if only you would be more respectful children, then I would be able to function better as a mother, if only you could be more supportive as a spouse, then I would be much happier. As long as I pin my happiness and my self-respect and my physical well-being, my emotional well-being, my spiritual well-being on someone else than myself, who am I making responsible for me to change? Me? Who's the only person who can do my changes? Or something outside of me? Oh, if only it wouldn't rain. All these are complaints against God. I may not want to admit it, but ultimately it's a complaint. So the first thing we need to do really is ask Hashem, please Hashem, you're behind my wife, my husband, my mother-in-law, my children. Please put it in their minds to be more respectful. Help me to have more self-respect so that I demand it earlier on instead of blowing it and saying, why do you speak to me this way? I can't stand it when you... Help me not to lose my temper and tell them right up front, as soon as it comes out of the mouth first time, you can't speak to me that way. I'm a Rolls Royce. I'm not a 67 Chevy. 67 Chevy? You can beat around a bit here and there. But a Rolls Royce? You have to speak gently. You can't kick a Rolls Royce. You can't abuse a Rolls Royce. I'm a Rolls Royce of a human being. And I don't say that out of arrogance. Hashem said so. Bani matem nashem elokeichem. You are princes, you are my children. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, you are my children. Bani matem, and we say in Pirkei Avos, Kol Yisrael melachim hem, as is a Mishnah in Shabbos, sorry, Mishnah Shabbos, I think in chapter 14, Mishnah number 4. Kol Yisrael bnei melachim hem, all Jews are sons of kings. We're all princes and princesses. Bani matem nashem melachim, you are my children. We're God's children. We're not Rolls Royces, we're beyond that. So therefore no one's allowed to treat me bad, even if it's justified. I'm Selem Elokim, I'm a reflection of God. So Zrizus has to do with planning in advance who we're committed to becoming, what actions we want to take, in what circumstances, how we can decide to become more valuable in our relationships to ourselves, to our Creator, through the mitzvahs that we do, and how we become more valuable in our relationships to other people by being more caring, more sensitive, more acknowledging, more appreciative. Yeah. Your question is the concept of hitbodidut?
Yeah,
is it a lutzato concept? You will find it constantly throughout his Mesilat Yesharim.
Where is that?
Question, where does the concept of hitbodidut come from? You're asking a very loaded question over here. It's loaded because if we really get into it, it's going to take, really, to do justice to that question will take me a long time. But in very, very, very simple,
yeah.
Very, very simple format. Okay. If you look carefully at the Chumash, you will discover something very interesting, that the mode of communication between human being and God is all talking. Adam, right at the very beginning of the Torah, God is waiting for Adam to ask Hashem to start the cycles of nature. The Torah says that the vegetation was beneath the earth and it hadn't sprouted yet. Why not? Chapter 2, verse 5. The kol siach hasadeh, all vegetation of this field, terem yihyeh, before it was ba'aretz, in the ground, or sorry, while it was still in the ground, v'chol esev, and all grass, hasadeh, of the field, terem yitzmach, before it sprouted, hadn't come up yet. Why not? Ki lai him tir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz. God had not rained the water down on the land. V'adam ayin, because there was no man, la'avod et ha'adama, to work the land. What does Rashi say? What do you mean there's no one to work the land? Velama kiloi himte. Why hadn't the anything grown yet? Why wasn't vegetation and fruits coming up yet? Umatam, what's the reason? Loi himte. Why didn't God bring down the rain so that the cycles of nature could begin? So that the minerals in the water of the rain, because we're talking about the last day. Now a man was created. Ah. He didn't recognize the benefit of rain. Ukshaba Adam, when man came, Vyeda, and understood, he realized, he knew. Shehin Sairach La'ilam. It's needed for the world. It's Palel Aleihen. Please God, bring the rain down. Vyardu, and it came down, Yitzmahu Ailanas Medoshim. And the trees and the grass grew. If you look carefully, you'll see. Prayer is all about conversation with God. Noah comes out with the ark, prays to God. You see throughout, Rivka praying for a child with her husband in chapter 25 in Genesis. You find Yitzhak goes out into the field, L'siach besadeh, to talk to Hashem in the field. That's what Rashi says right there in chapter 24. You see Abraham begging Hashem, chapter 18, you want to destroy Sodom, but it will be a terrible Chilul Hashem. Maybe there will be some righteous people there. They're going to be destroyed as well. It's talking to God. Wherever you go throughout Tanakh, you'll find this. I'm not saying this on my own. The son of Maimonides, Avraham ben Maimon, wrote a sefer called Masbik Le'ovdei Hashem. And the last chapter on Hit Bodidut, he describes there that if you want to identify the only one trait which makes a Jew is talking to God. And he goes through the whole history of creation, right through the Bible. He claims that Jewish people every single day in the desert, after they studied with the Torah scroll, the instructions of God, went out of the camp, into the mountains and the valleys, and poured their hearts out to Hashem and said, "Please Hashem, help me fulfill your mitzvahs in all their detail. Help me notice the opportunities. Give me siyata d'shmaya. Help me to become what you want me to become." Now it's true that more recently, Hit Bodidut has become renewed through Hasidus, especially with Nachman of Breslov, more than anywhere else. But he's renewing what has always been. Because, I'll give you an example, and we'll have to close in a few moments, but the Gemara asks in the end of Brachas, in Tractate Brachas, I think on page 63, says, Eizah Parsha Katana, if you could choose one pasuk somewhere in the Torah, Eizah Parsha Katana, Shekol Gufei HaTorah Teluyin Bo. If you could choose one verse upon which the essence of the entire Torah, all Judaism, hangs on this verse. That's an amazing question. Which verse would you choose? Which verse? Shema Yisrael, love your neighbor as yourself. Which one would you choose? You hear the question? Brilliant question. Amazing question. What's the question? If you could choose one verse which sums up the whole of Judaism, Eizah Parsha Katana Shekol Gufei HaTorah Teluyin Bo, the entire Torah is hanging, suspended from this one verse. What verse would you choose? So I'll show you something very interesting. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, chapter 3. Bechol darkecha de'ehu. Bechol, De'achecha, De'ehu. Which means, in all your ways, acknowledge God. Acknowledge Him. Vehu, and He, Hashem, Yasher, will straighten out Orchotecha, your ways. Acknowledge God in all your ways, Hashem will straighten out all your crooked paths. This is from Mishlei. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Now the Gemara says, it didn't need to say b'chol derachecha, it could have said b'derachecha. Why does it say b'chol in all your ways? Not only when you're doing a mitzvah to acknowledge God, which is obvious. I'm right now being religious. I'm keeping Shabbos, I'm davening, I'm in the middle of putting on tefillin, I'm saying a bracha. That's religious. Of course I acknowledge you in this moment. Baruch Atah increases my recognition of you when I make a blessing on this food, recognizing you are the source of this blessing. But b'chol derachecha, says the Gemara, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim in chapter Reish Lamed Aleph 231, means when you're eating, when you go to sleep, when you drink, when you do your physical needs, physical intimacy, De'ehu, recognize, acknowledge God. Ask the Arizal how you're supposed to do that. How do you recognize God? How do you have a relationship with someone who you want to be close to? Thinking about them? Talking about them to other people? No! You get a cellular phone and you call them all day long. 1-800-ALMIGHTY. Look at the Arizal. It says the Arizal, the first letters of the verse is Badad. Badad. Let's talk to Hashem. Be alone. Lamed, last letters. Lamed, Chaf, Vav. Chaf, Vav is a famous gematria. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei is 26. Chaf, Vav is 26. Badad, Lashem. Have you spoken this to God? Says the Arizal, which Parsha Ketana, Shekol Gufei HaTorah Teluyin Ba, where could you find me a verse upon which the entire essence of Judaism is hanging on that verse? Badad Lashem. Talk to God. That's how to acknowledge Him in all your ways. And says one of the opinions in the Gemara, in all your ways, afilu ledvar avira. Even if you make a mistake and you violate God, talk to Him about it. There's no such thing as despair. So what Rav Nachman came along to do, he basically said, I'm giving you news which is really ancient. Talk to God every day. Rav Moshe, what? In your own language. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato is saying, if you don't talk to God about acquiring mastery of character traits, essentially what I'm doing is saying, I can do it on my own. I don't need you, God. And what I don't recognize is everything that happens in my life. When people talk to you, events happen, whatever you hear of people saying to you, you overhear a conversation, you read something, someone reads something to you, it's all min Hashemayim. Everything is coming from Hashem. Even, and this is a hard part to digest, even what I do is b'dei Shemayim. Even my Bechira is, I'll explain that. Wait a minute, how could you say that? Isn't Bechira the only thing we really own, our own free will? And the answer is, if it wouldn't be for God allowing me to do it, I couldn't. Which means the only reason why I am able to do this mitzvah is because Hashem has not sent a distraction to keep me away from it. It means I'm zoicha, I'm worthy of it. So I have to ask Hashem, please let me be zoicha to be a good Jew. Please save me from Lashon Hara. And if I am protected from Lashon Hara, it's because Hashem is helping me. It's not just me taking action. Because I can take the actions, and if Hashem doesn't sign the bill, if Hashem doesn't bless me, then the wrong person can come in and thwart my plans. Speak Lashon Hara, and he's a tzaddik, and I'll believe him. Hashem can send distractions from anywhere and take me away from my real goals. I need Hashem at all times. So if I actually do something right, it's because Hashem is letting me. It's not because I'm actually doing it. It's hard to digest. It's really hard to digest. But it's the bottom line of real Bechira.
Were your contemporaries looked at on Ramah?
No. No.
Was that in 1789?
No.
Revolution.
It was about 100 years apart. I'm not sure of the exact dates.
100?
Was that
the
earlier.
Earlier?
Yeah, earlier. Yeah. Rav Nachman himself says in Sichas Aran that he highly recommended his Talmidim to study Mesilas Sharim many times.